Because God is infinite, there's never any one metaphor or analogy that can completely capture who God is. And so we have many of them. You know, one of the images that the prophets loved was Israel was married to God, and so it's a kind of a marriage relationship, intimacy, passion, closeness. And that image is carried over into the New Testament with Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. This idea of that intimate love relationship between God and human beings. Another image is the body of Christ, that we are somehow incorporated into the very body of Christ, so that now he's no longer physically present in the world in Jesus of Nazareth, but in us, the church. And in the Old Testament, there was a kind of a conflict of images because some of the authors presented God as kind of like the pagan gods, angry. In the pagan religions, their gods were always testy, always ready to get flare up with anger and ruin your crops or destroy your family or whatever. And of course, in the Mediterranean world, there were then and still are lots of earthquakes. And so those were seen as the anger of the gods. And so you were always offering sacrifice to appease their anger, to so they would leave you alone. They were fearful gods, and you wanted them to stay away. So some of the Old Testament writers presented Yahweh in a similar fashion. And particularly the prophets who were berating the people for their unfaithfulness and saying, God must be so angry. How could you do this to God? You know, working the guilt. That's before the Catholic guilt ever started, you know. But throughout that same time period, there were lots of positive images of God. And so, for example, the Exodus, God hears their cry of distress, sends Moses to actively save them. This is a very different kind of God. And so we read our first reading this morning from the book of Numbers, where Moses tells Aaron, who is the priest, this is how you bless the people. May God bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And know that you are blessed by God. Well, that's a much more positive image of God than this anger thing. But the anger thing carried over so much that the early Christian writers were tempted to think that there were two gods, a God of the Old Testament who was always angry, God of vengeance, God of war, and then Jesus, the new God, who is the God of love and peace and joy. But that was quickly resolved by greater minds saying, no, it's the same God. But we, in our human stubbornness, have made up an angry God. And God has tried to tell us in various ways, and in all those centuries of Israel's history, he's trying to get them to understand that he loves them and wants to marry them and wants to have intimate relationship with them. But in frustration, he finally sends his son to be human and to announce once and for all the revelation of what always was, and that is that we were children of God. St. John, in his first letter, and we just read that over the weekend, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet been revealed, but this much has been revealed in Jesus, that we are children of God and heirs of the kingdom. And St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which was our second reading today, makes that same point. And I find it interesting that in both of those readings, they end with a mention of the Holy Spirit. The Father, wishing to redeem the world, wishing to let the world know that while original sin harmed the original unity between God and his creation and God and humans, It did not destroy it completely. God predestined us to be with him forever. It was never part of God's plan that there would be disunion between us and God. That was something we made up. And he's been trying to tell us through all of salvation history that that's not true, that that's an illusion that was in our heads, not in God's. And so finally, he sends Jesus as the fullness of revelation. And what we mean by that is that he didn't change anything. It's not like God changed God's mind and said, okay, I'm not mad anymore, forget it. You can be children now. We were always children. There was never a time when we weren't children of God, but we didn't know it. And so Jesus comes as the revealer to reveal the truth that always was, but we were too stubborn to see it, too selfish, too individualistic and separatist. We were pushing God away. And God could have come up with two reactions to all those centuries of pushing away and ignoring and separating. He could have been angry, and he could have sent the Son as a punishment. But that just wouldn't be God, would it? Rather, he sends the Son into human flesh to reveal to us what always was, to remind us, to give us the good news, gospel, that God is not angry, that God is not holding our sins against us, that God is reaching out to us forever in love and peace and comfort and joy. Now, the incarnation of Jesus into human flesh comes as a result of God's eternal gift of that message, of that truth, of that love, always coming full force to the human race, but always pushed away, veiled by the deflector shields that we put up. Our resistances, our feelings of inadequacy, our self-loathing, all those things, we put up these deflector shields so that it just came through kind of veiled. But in Mary, there was no veil. Conceived without original sin, unhampered by all of that deflecting that the rest of us put up, she just said a complete yes, with no conditions or reservations. And the result of that love of God and the receptivity and the yes of Mary is Jesus, the incarnate Son, to show us that that's our destiny too. Our destiny is to be with God. Our destiny is to be part of God, to be in God, and to have God in us. And again, the first letter of St. John says, anyone who follows his commands, and his command is love one another as I have loved you, anyone who does that lives in God and God in them. And week after week, we come here around this altar to celebrate that sacramentally. And so we eat God and we drink God. And God comes into us and becomes part of our flesh. But as St. Augustine famously said, that's not the real miracle. The real miracle is not so much that he comes into us, but that we go into him. We get transformed into the body of Christ. That's more than a marriage. That's more than a child. That's oneness. That's union with God. And because of Jesus, it is available to us every time we partake of the Eucharist. We feed on this. We are nourished by this. We become this. This is what one of the things we're celebrating at the Christmas season is the incarnation, the enfleshment of God in Jesus so that God can be enfleshed